Please stand for the reading of our scripture lesson this morning. It's taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're going to the movies. Yeah, this will be cool. Thank you so much. That was spectacular, the choir and both of you together. We'd like you to do this maybe every week. That was really great. We're blessed to have you all here today. Thank you for being here. It really has made a difference, and it just goes to show you the power of what can happen when people of various churches get together to serve the Lord. That's just one of the great things about your ministry to the community and how deeply we appreciate you being here today. Just a sideline, because I've had a number of people ask me this morning before the early service and now before this one, what happened to you-know-who? I said, "No, what do you mean?" "Well, you know, the little gal who often goes with you, is that sidekick of yours, what's her name again?" "Oh, Carolyn, yes!" Well, you see, she's been in Germany for 4 weeks today, and I received a call this morning, just before I walked out the door to come to the first service, and it was my daughter and Carolyn breaking the news to me that she was staying 3 more weeks. I just feel so bad about it. Well, Mr. Ruff is the one who feels badly about it because he's left alone most of the time, the poor dog. But what's happening is that, number one, she's had a cold and some sinus infection, and I don't want her to fly when she has that. And number two, they're going to have an opportunity to celebrate D-Day, the 6th day of June, at Normandy Beach. And, of course, they enticed Carolyn just a wee bit by saying, "But Mom, we've already rented rooms at a beautiful little French chalet, and you're going to love going there." Get a grip, you know. Man, I may go on a trip too while she's gone. I'm thinking of, I don't know, Littleton, Pueblo, maybe. I may get away just a little bit. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, it's just so good to be alive and to be here, to be a part of the body of Christ, to know the power of your presence among us, to be open to your grace and your goodness and the leading of the Holy Spirit as we worship together and celebrate life together. May the mystery and majesty of your holy word touch us this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as you could tell by the music this morning, we're all getting ready for a big event. The Cannes Film Festival is taking place even as we meet today. And that's always a spectacular event on the coast of France. This is the 61st Cannes Film Festival. But it is only the second time that one of Steven Spielberg's films made the cut for this great festival. The first time was way back when one of his famous films hit the market. And that was E.T., extra what? Terrestrial. Yeah, that's a mouthful in itself. This time it's Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Wow. Are you ready for it? Understand our new theater is opening down at InterQuest. And Thursday evening, if I'm not mistaken, at midnight, will be the showing of the Indiana Jones film. Does everybody have tickets already for that occasion? Oh, I'm sorry I asked. No! Well, I know there are going to be a big crowd waiting for that fourth installment of the Indiana Jones film series. Harrison Ford, of course, returns again as Dr. Indiana Jones, fedora-wearing, whip-wielding, snake-hating, artifact-hunting professor of archaeology at none other than Marshall College, a great school of learning and higher academics, which does not exist in Connecticut. Well, I mean, it's a fictitious school. What an exciting series the Indiana Jones series has been. And you know when it started, don't you? 19 years ago. 19 years ago. I was just a kid in those days. And it was amazing. So was Harrison Ford, just a kid in those days, when he first started off this great series. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade was a great hit. And, of course, John Williams' adventurous anthem can be played at any point in time, and we know exactly where it's coming from. What a great series. Now, the newest adventure gives us a different kind of Harrison Ford, a different kind of person than we've seen before. This time, he's a bit gray-haired, a little bit more mature. No, let's just put it honestly, bluntly, he's old. And he is in search of a pseudo-religious relic, this time one of the famed and fabled crystal skulls. Set in the 1950s, the plot revolves around a race between the Soviets and the United States to find the skull. And the whole storyline will eventually take them to Peru on this great quest, and you'll get to see all of the glory and majesty of this adventure. The one thing that you may or may not know is that the mystique surrounding crystal skulls was there before the Indiana Jones movie took place. That's part of the excitement of what brought this movie together in the first place, but this whole concept of crystal skulls being out there is real. And the mystique and the intriguing atmosphere about these skulls has been around for some years, if you've not known about it. Let me explain just a little bit. There's a lot of legends about some skulls, crystal skulls, that were made at some point in time. Part of the legend says that they may come from as many as 10,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago. Some say that it may be the result of some visits by extraterrestrial beings who came at some point in time. Some aliens from out there came to Earth. A more likely legend, though, is the one that's the Mayan legend that follows the ancient Mayan civilization that peaked somewhere between 300 and 900 A.D., and that is a part of the Mayan civilization, 13 skulls were made and possessed by that culture. Crystal skulls, which when united together as one, all 13 of them, had the power to save the earth. I don't know, do any of you know that story about those skulls? That's the background of the crystal skulls. And since the skulls are crystal, there's no way to absolutely determine their age by carbon dating, so all kind of hypotheses exist about where they came from, who made them, and why they were made. New Agers have associated the skulls with the belief that the Mayan long count calendar that they used so long ago runs out on December the 12th, 2012, when it reaches the end of a 5,126-year cycle. And at the end of that cycle, according to the theory, all 13 skulls must be reunited and lined up together to prevent the world from falling off of its axis. Yeah, this is the rest of the story. And there are those people who believe in the psychic powers of these crystal skulls, and that the powers are as such that they have the ability to, within us, increase our level of happiness. Boy, we need that in this day and time. They have the powers to provide healing in the midst of our sickness, to improve people's lives, to prevent psoriasis and the deforestation of the rainforest. I kid you not. You may find some of these skulls, by the way, they do exist. Some of the crystal skulls do exist at the Smithsonian Institute or at museums in England and France and Mexico, just to name a few. The only thing about this is that the more they look into some of these skulls, it appears to be that the majority of them were made somewhere in the 19th century, around 1860 to 1900, and they're not that old after all. I thought it was interesting. And I'm quoting now from one author who says, there is no support in the mainstream scientific community validating any of their legendary powers. So don't go looking for them, is what they're saying. But you know, we're living in a world of constant change, and we would like something with some legendary powers to help us out in our time. Everything seems to be in the midst of flux, in the midst of change, in the midst of turmoil. You know, our president is soon to return, if he's not doing so already, from a trip abroad. Had the opportunity to be in Israel at the 60th anniversary celebration of Israel as a country. And he also had the opportunity to go to Saudi Arabia and receive a no from the king. How do you spell no? Well, we just need a little more oil to, you know, to make it over in the United States. No. Okay. Gas prices continue to rise. It's not uncommon now to see $4 and $5 a gallon. Where is it going to end? Your guess is as good as mine. But it's also neat to see the other kind of vehicles that are slowly appearing on the horizon and out on the roadway. I mean, some three-wheelers. Have you seen them? Some of those little cars that aren't any bigger than this, you can just about squeeze in the front seat, and they say it holds four. All kind of possibilities are out there. Frankly, I've spent a lot of time the last number of weeks going to a hospital and a hospice, and I passed a place where they were selling motor scooters. I think that would be cool. Yeah, that everyone on the staff here owns a motor scooter. Sort of as a, yeah. No, not a cycle, a scooter. I think that would be great. I think it would be fun. Wars continue, and for many of us it becomes continually disturbing and alarming every time the evening news comes on, and they're so good locally every time to lift up a fallen hero. And as they lift up the fallen hero, we feel so badly not only for the families, but we feel badly because war continues, and it goes on and on and on, and is there an end? Burma or Myanmar is devastated. A cyclone swept through there, sort of going off its normal track, heading south, wiping whole communities, cities, off the map, never to be seen again. And along with the wiping away of the communities, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have died. Families are destroyed forever. Communities are destroyed forever. And we tremble in thinking about it. Speaking of trembling, China trembles in the midst of earthquakes, and thousands of people are buried under fallen rubble. And I just heard yesterday that part of the reason for the falling rubble was the fact that in its quest to grow rapidly and to start meeting and matching Western civilization, the opportunity to build was there as fast, as furious, and as cheaply as possible. And when the earthquakes came, the buildings tumbled on the populace that lived in and around them. Politicking continues at home. And every report, I don't know about you, but I think every report that we see on the news or hear in advertising reminds us that we have 6 more months of politicking to go through. Now, if you happened to be awake last night, as I was, not that I tune this in regularly, but Saturday Night Live, Wow, did you see that? They had some great stuff. Of course, they had John McCain on there. And every time he's on anywhere, he has to deal with his age, unlike yours truly. And he started talking about, what he's talking about his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and his great-great-grandchildren and his great-great-great-grandchildren. And then they had a wonderful profile, which was made up of half of Obama and half of Hillary. And they were both talking at the same time. And it was an absolute hoot. A reminder again, we're not going to get away from political advertising for 6 more months. Oh, this is exciting. And into all of this, we find ourselves finding some kind of comfort in the idea of having a crystal skull, something that we can grab a hold of that will help us make sense of the world in which we live in. Why do we have to constantly be at war? Why are the buildings tumbling? Why are the storms coming? Why are gas prices rising? Why are we living in a time of where the cost of living is just going off the chart? How do we deal all of this? It's nice to have something like that that will offer healing and happiness, our vision and our dreams. And along with the power conferred by quartz heads, we also have other accessories that we use because they promise some provided assistance for us in the midst of our dilemma and disillusionment. Copper bracelets, for example. Heel joint pains. I mentioned this at the first service, and immediately afterwards, somebody came up to me with their copper bracelets. And he said, yeah, look, I'm wearing one of them. I said, oh, yeah, we all do. That magnetic jewelry that you wear that's supposed to relieve stress and regulate your blood pressure and increase your energy levels. Even better than that vitamin water that some people are drinking. Vitamin water? You know, at $3.95 a bottle? Just take a vitamin pill and drink some water from the spigot. It'd be a lot cheaper. Crystal charms, they keep away evil spirits. And sometimes, I don't know about you, I always get a kick out of these television ministries that sell these miracle towels or holy water. I mean, you can get a miracle towel. It'll be blessed. Only costs you $17.95. You can use it more than once. But the one I always get a kick out of more than any others, and several people mentioned to me after the last service, this is this guy who wears that Hawaiian shirt. And he's there on a beach with the palm trees behind him, and he's talking about how you can reach financial success. You can have more money than you ever imagined. You can have millions of dollars. You can own your homes and real estate, and you'll have a future that you have never dreamed of if you'll just send me an offering. Well, you have to send me the offering first, and then you're going to get the blessing afterwards. Todd Brumman came up after the first service and presented us a gift that he received, and I thought, man, this is really cool. This is a $1 million bill. And I thought, man, this will be good for our church because we're looking for these kinds of things that will come along and help us some way or another. It'll help our finances immeasurably, especially with conference apportionments. Oh. And last week I received a prayer photo. I don't know if any of you received this, but I received a prayer photo of Jesus with his eyes closed. Did you get that in the mail? I opened it up and took a look at it. And it said, if you concentrate on the picture long enough, the eyes of Jesus will open. You know, it's one of those things you have to stare until you go dizzy. Well, so you stare at it, looking at Jesus, and when Jesus' eyes open, Jesus is looking at you as you write your check to this organization. I think it's really cool. We're behind the times at Tri Lakes United Methodist. We look to daily horoscopes and fortune cookies to give us positive signs and hope for the future in our lives. And I know, as sure as I'm standing here, there's somebody in this congregation who eats at an Asian or Chinese restaurant and gets that fortune cookie and looks at the numbers on the bottom and goes and gets a Powerball ticket with those numbers. Oh, yeah, you do, don't you? That's what I thought. And the latest invention that caught my eye was just on TV yesterday and on the early news. It was an invention by an Arizona couple, and it's called the interstellar light reflector. Boy, just the name of it is enticing. The interstellar light reflector. This is a new way to experience the power of the moon, as it will enhance your lives, and it will give you a cure for skin disorders and asthma and depression and cancer. And you can be the recipient of that. And they showed people standing there in front of the light reflector that reflects the light of the moon, and they were all standing there going, I do that anyway, and I don't even have a light reflector. But we too are in search of some kind of relief beyond the magical, some kind of relief beyond that crystal skull, something else out there that will give us some guidance and strength and wisdom and hope. And in part, that's why we gather here today. Oh, we gather because we're the body of Christ. We gather because we have to be here if we're going to be that body of Christ. But we also gather because we're looking for some answers that Ouija boards can't give us, that our society isn't giving us, and that we're struggling more and more each day. It is a reality of our society, if not our own community. And the last paragraph of Matthew's gospel provides us the critical details regarding 11 disciples who went to Galilee and found something that we too can find very easily. And just a few verses of Scripture. They went to Galilee after hearing about Jesus' resurrection. Now, it was rumor. I don't know if it's taken place or not. I don't know what's going on. But we'll go. We'll do as we're instructed. Because it says some of the disciples were skeptical. That happens to us. Skepticism is there. Those who outwardly believed and those who were skeptical. And in the last verses of chapter 28, we find out what gave them the ability to overcome the circumstances of heartache and despair and disillusionment that took place when Jesus was crucified. Here they were looking for something substantial, and Jesus died. They were looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he died. The rumor is that he lives. The 11 disciples are neither paralyzed by the loss of Judas or the intimidation of the Pharisees. And they do as they were instructed by Jesus and go to a specific but unnamed mountain and there to gather. As the living Christ appeared to the gathered few, some believed and some waited in disbelief. But in the presence of the Lord, something happened to all of them that turned their life totally cattywampus, upside down, in ways beyond all imagination. In the appearance of the living Christ, there came a powerful change in their lives. Not a little change. A powerful change in their lives. Webster defines power as the capability of producing an effect, either physical or moral. Both were achieved. Both were achieved by the disciples when Jesus said to them, and I love the Message translation, God has authorized and commanded me to commission you. You get it? Jesus has been authorized and commissioned to go to these disciples. And he says to them, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by the baptism in the threefold manner. He said you do it in the threefold manner. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we have Trinity Sunday. That's today. You don't find that formula very many places in Scripture. Nor do you find the word Trinity in Scripture. But you do find the power in Scripture When Jesus said, you go out and in my name, you baptize them, you call them, you lead them. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you've got the power, use it. Wow, that's exciting to me. You've got the power. Then instruct them in the practices that I have commanded you. Power is received by the disciples. Not from any inanimate object. Not from a bracelet or a moonbeam instrument. Power came from Jesus Christ, the one who has the authority to give the power. And the making of disciples of all nations, in the baptizing and the teaching of the people, the disciples of Jesus have received power and authority unlike any other power they have ever received in following the Master. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, this was their key to success, and it is ours as well. The same authority and the same power has been given to you, not from a skull, not from a piece of crystal, not from a stone or an ornament, but from Jesus himself. That same power, I believe it. That same power is yours. To live life in its fullest, receive the power and know what it means to have God with you, not only in the great mountaintop experiences, but in the valleys as well. As with the disciples, our future is wide open. It's open to possibilities beyond our wildest imaginations. The future is yours, and life is yours, and love is yours, and forgiveness is yours, and a new way to treat others and treat the world is yours. Tomorrow and eternity are yours. And why is it yours? Because Jesus commissioned you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, believe it and receive it. Amen.